Hare Krishna, reading from Surrender Unto Me, an overview of the Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 9, The Most Confidential Knowledge. Krishna is continuing his instructive words to Arjuna. 23. Those who are devotees of other gods and who worship them with faith actually worship only me, O son of Kunti. But they do so in a wrong way. Comment. Such persons are worshipping, but with improper knowledge and with an improper process. Vidhi Purvakam means to follow the actual rules and regulations. Avidhi Purvakam means not to follow them or to follow them in a wrong way, against the actual injunctions of the Shastra and without the conscious worship of Krishna as the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada compares such avidhipurvakam worship to watering the leaves and branches of a tree while neglecting to water the root. What happens to such worshippers? 24. I am the only enjoyer and master of all sacrifices. Therefore, those who do not recognize my true transcendental nature fall down. Comment. Demigod worshippers, after great endeavor to follow the Vedas, simply, quote, fall down to material existence and do not achieve the desired goal of life, Srila Prabhupada writes. To contrast the destinations of demigod worshippers and Krishna bhaktas, Krishna speaks verse 25. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship the ancestors will go to the ancestors. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. And those who worship me will live with me. Comment. Worshippers go where their faith is reposed, as their consciousness naturally carries them to that to which they are attracted. Krishna has clearly outlined our choices. We have to accept one object of worship or another as our goal. To encourage us to choose correctly, he speaks the final nine verses of this chapter. These verses plead with us for our own benefit to become his exclusive devotees. 26. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water, I will accept it. Comment. To worship the demigods properly, one is required to perform elaborate sacrifices governed by intricate rules. Numerous pure and trained priests and huge amounts of ghee and other difficult-to-obtain ingredients are needed before one can perform such yajñas. Worshipping Krishna is simple. Patram, Pushpam, Palam, and Toyam are all in the singular. Krishna asks only for a leaf, a flower, water, or a piece of fruit. His request is not even for all of them. His actual desire is to taste the bhakti of his devotee's offering. Therefore, he mentions bhakti twice in this verse for emphasis. The demigods are pleased by the offering. Krishna is pleased by devotion. A devotee not only offers these items to Krishna with devotion, but he also bases his entire life on rendering pleasing service to Krishna. Therefore, the essential ingredients of an offering, the sentiments of bhakti, are not only evoked at the time of the offering, but are cultivated throughout a devotee's life. The garden in which the grains, vegetables, fruits, and flowers are sown and grown is watered with devotion to Krishna. The flowers are picked and the food cooked with devotion. Finally, the items are served and offered to Krishna. Krishna says that he accepts asnami, such offerings, because his devotee's bhakti has given him an appetite. This verse in text 14 and 22 describe advanced stages of devotion. In the next verse, according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Krishna describes a step below this, Nishkam Karma Yoga, for those who are not yet able to practice pure devotional service. 27. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. Comment. Nishkam karmis are attached to the specific work they perform. To them, Krishna therefore says that whatever you are already doing, do that as an offering to me. First perform the activity and then surrender its fruits to Krishna. Bhakti is different. In bhakti, we first surrender to the order of Guru and Krishna and then act. We make no distinction between the activity and its fruit. Everything is offered in surrender to Krishna's lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada confirmed that this verse refers to karma yoga, technically different from bhakti yoga, in a lecture on the prayers of Queen Kunti given in Mayapur in 1974. This is the quotation from Srila Prabhupada. Krishna is meant for the Paramhamsas and Muni, very, very exalted persons. Yoga means contact or having connection. Bhakti yoga means directly connecting with Krishna or God. Other yogas are not directly connected. When there is karma yoga, it is adulterated. It is not pure. Karma yoga means yat karosi, yat asnasi, yat chohosi, tadasi yat. In the beginning, one cannot take to pure bhakti yoga. Therefore, karma yoga is recommended. People are interested in different types of work. Therefore, Krishna says, yat karosi. Never mind, whatever you are doing. So, how does it become karma yoga? Now, kurusva tad madarpanam. You give it to me. Krishna says, all right, go on. You are attached to business. You can go on doing that. But the money earned out of your business, you give to me. This is karma yoga. It doesn't matter whatever you are doing, but the ultimate result, you give to me. The comment continues. The next verse describes the result of Nishkam Karma Yoga. And we shall read that, Krishna willing, very soon. Hare Krishna.